Good morning, White Sox fans. This is your Sox Machine White Sox wake-up call for Wednesday, May 12th, 2021. I'm Josh Nelson. Last night was the first of 16 games the Chicago White Sox and Minnesota Twins will have over the next 2 months, and it was a continuation of how both teams have been playing as of late. Dylan Cease ran into trouble in the second inning after a clean first inning. After getting ahead on Jorge Polanco on two high fastballs, Cease's third fastball missed the mark as it traveled down the pipe, and Polanco smashed it into the left field seats for a solo home run. Down 1-0, the mistakes compounded. Trevor Larnach hit a high pop-up in foul territory, but it landed between Yasmani Grandal and Yoan Moncada because neither called for it. Larnach would eventually walk when it should have been out number two in the inning. The bases were finally loaded, but Cease was ahead 0-2 when his slider completely missed the mark, hitting the Twins' number nine hitter, giving the Twins another run. Luis Arraez hit a sac fly to make it 3-0. Nick Madrigal did make a good throw to Yoan Moncada to nail the trailing runner at third base to finally end the inning. But if Moncada catches the foul ball, Minnesota's just up 2-0. If Cease had better command, the game could have been scoreless. Whatever good feelings the Twins had having a 3-0 lead after the top of the second inning, and the disgruntled mood the White Sox had, ended pretty quickly in the bottom half. After Jose Abreu singled and Yermín Mercedes walked, it was Yasmani Grandal's turn. Entering the night 0-for-7, but with 14 walks in May, it was expected of the Minnesota Twins in this series to start challenging Grandal more in the strike zone rather than what other opposing teams have been doing, nibbling around the strike zone. Grandal has only seen pitches in the strike zone 46% of the time before last night. So, Maeda threw a splitter down the middle, and Grandal got the bottom half of the ball, lifting it into left field, and it landed into the bleachers for a three-run homer, his third of the season. The White Sox had a chance to take the lead in that second inning. Andrew Vaughn walked and reached to second base on a fielder's choice. With two outs, Tim Anderson singled to left field, but Luis Arraez made a great throw to home plate, nailing Vaughn for the final out. The White Sox almost took the lead again in the third inning as Jose Abreu got a hold of a high fastball from Maeda, but Max Kepler did his best Byron Buxton impression in center field, timing his jump perfectly to rob Abreu of a home run. But Abreu would get his revenge in the sixth inning. After Yoan Moncada walked, Abreu tagged a hanging slider for his seventh home run of the season, giving the White Sox a 5-3 lead, and that homer sparked the White Sox offense to score three more runs, as Minnesota's bullpen issues might be worse than we originally thought, because Kenta Maeda went 5 innings pitched, 4 hits allowed, 3 earned runs, 2 walks, and 3 strikeouts. The overall line was not very impressive. Maeda did not have a good feel for most of his pitches for the night. He started to get stronger, though, in the 4th and 5th innings against the White Sox. But when manager Rocco Baldelli went to his bullpen, the Twins' bullpen last night finished going 3 innings pitched, 7 hits allowed, 6 runs allowed, 2 walks, and 2 strikeouts. That unit is not good. Dylan Cease rebounded and battled his way after the bad second inning to a respectable outing, going 5 innings pitched, 5 hits allowed, 3 earned runs all in that second inning, 2 walks, and 7 strikeouts. He didn't have a good feel for the slider, but once he did get the good feel in his slider, especially in the fourth inning when he struck out the side, it looked pretty good. But that knuckle curveball, man, I'm a big fan of that knuckle curve. And I think it does tunnel and pair nicely with the fastball that when working with Yasmani Grandal, Dylan Cease, as long as he hits the top of the strike zone, looks really efficient as a starter. But there were times that Cease battled with that command as far as his fastball that aiming for the top of the zone, he was actually in the lower third, so that's something that he'll have to clean up in his next bullpen. Speaking of the bullpen, the White Sox bullpen saw Matt Foster struggle. He allowed two hits, and so did Cody Hoyer. And both times, manager Tony La Russa went to lefties out of the bullpen and Garrett Crochet and Aaron Bummer to get out of the jam. And both Garrett Crochet and Aaron Bummer picked up their fellow relievers, and Jose Ruiz closed it out. So together, the bullpen covered four innings last night, allowing just four hits, no runs, no walks, and four strikeouts. That was the big difference in last night's game, and it might be the big difference in this series. The White Sox look to continue their four-game winning streak tonight with Dallas Keuchel on the mound. Keuchel is making his eighth start in 2021, and his last outing was his longest at Cincinnati, going 7 innings on 95 pitches. Keuchel has yet to throw 100 pitches in any of his starts this season. Perhaps this is manager Tony La Russa's way of trying to keep the 33-year-old southpaw healthy for the entire season. In 38 innings of work, Keuchel has a 3.79 ERA, but only 17 strikeouts to 14 walks allowed. Opposing teams have 32 hits off Keuchel this season, with the season high being 7 allowed against Texas, but the White Sox won that game 2-1 on April 24th. The Minnesota Twins have a team 108 weighted runs created plus, meaning that they're 8% better than league average when facing a left-handed pitcher. And they have a team 740 OPS against left-handed pitchers this season. So Keuchel will have to work up some more sinker magic to help out his offense and making sure that the White Sox stay in the game. Speaking of the White Sox offense, they lead the majors with a 137 weighted runs created plus. They are 37% better than league average against lefties and have a team OPS of 835 against left-handed pitching in 2021. They'll face Jay Happ, who's off to a good start in 2021. This will be his sixth start of the season, and Happ is carrying a 1.91 ERA. He doesn't have a lot of strikeouts, as he hasn't punched out more than four batters in any of his starts, but Happ also hasn't allowed more than four hits or two runs in any of his starts either. One would think that both offenses would feast off these veterans, or the crafty veterans will drive both fan bases crazy, generating a bunch of weak contact. It'll be an interesting game to watch for sure, as temperature forecast is 54 degrees at first pitch and will cool down to 47 degrees towards the game's end. First pitch is at 7:10 p.m. Central Time. You can watch that game on NBC Sports Chicago or listen to the game on ESPN 1000 AM. Around minor league baseball, down in Charlotte, Jake Berger hit his second home run of the season, and Blake Rutherford had two doubles on his way to a three-hit night, as the Charlotte Knights won 6-4 over Norfolk. Gavin Sheets was 2-for-4, and Sebby Zavala went 2-for-3, as both continue to hit well over 300 starting this season. Starting pitcher Jonathan Stever went 4 innings pitched, 5 hits allowed, 2 earned runs, 2 walks, and just 1 strikeout. Bouncing over to Birmingham, Mike Rodolfo hit an impressive home run off Miami Marlins 2020 first-rounder Max Meyer. And the Barons, as a team, just keep on racking hits. They had 11 hits on the night to a 6-1 win over Pensacola. Starting pitcher Blake Banfield pitched well in the win, going 5 innings pitched, 4 hits allowed, 1 run allowed, 0 walks, and 9 strikeouts. The Birmingham Barons, when we looked at this roster, we thought this might be the weakest team the White Sox have in their minor league affiliates. Well, they are 6-1 to start 2021. Winston-Salem, Alex Destino, and Lennon Sosa hit critical home runs in the seventh inning as the Dash scored 4 runs in the seventh on their way to a 7-6 win over Hickory. Taylor Varnell might be worth keeping an eye on. He only pitched 3 innings, but he only allowed 1 hit, 0 runs, 0 walks, and struck out 6. Meanwhile, we thought Kanapolis had the most interesting roster for the Chicago White Sox affiliates, and the Cannonballers are off to a really rough start as they continue to be winless in 2021 as they drop to 0-7 on the season. Jared Kelly made his second start of this season, and he went 2 2/3 innings, allowing 2 hits, 3 runs. One of those 3 runs was earned. 4 walks and 5 strikeouts. He just needs to work on his command a little bit, but again, we're talking about a teenager in low A ball. DJ Gladney had 2 throwing errors. Benjamin Bailey is hitting .095 to start 2021. But Jose Rodriguez has been a bright spot. He went 2-for-5 last night, and he's hitting .406. And if you listen to the podcast that we had with Jim Callis this past weekend, he is one of the more interesting prospects the White Sox have. And if he continues to play at this type of level, he may get himself inserted into the White Sox top 10 prospects. ESPN's Jeff Passan is reporting that if the Oakland Athletics do not get city approval for the proposed Howard Terminal project, that owner John Fisher may have to explore relocation possibilities for the ball club. This isn't the first time to be suggested for Oakland to be moving, but the ball club is running out of options for a new stadium. Currently, the Athletics own half of the Coliseum, and the city of Oakland owns the other half. What's being proposed is a $12 billion project, with a big B, to build not just a 35,000-person stadium, but condos and apartments that would house 3,000 people, a new 400-person hotel, a new concert venue seating 3,500 people, and additional commercial space. It's a massive project with a massive price tag coming after a pandemic. The outlook is bleak that the city would approve such a project, hence why relocation is being threatened again. But local writers are turning up the burners on A's owner John Fisher. Even the Athletics managing editor for the Bay Area, Tim Kawakami, has suggested that Fisher should sell the team, and he could. There's a rumored list of interested prospective buyers in Silicon Valley, and some will want to keep the A's in Oakland. There's even the idea that maybe the city and the Oakland Athletics figure out how to tear down the old Golden State Warriors arena, build a new baseball stadium on the current site, and then eventually tear down the Oakland Coliseum to make for more parking, or if they wanted to have other commercial options, they could do so next to a new stadium where the current site is. It's by a train stop, the BART. It's located right next to the freeway. It is pretty easy to access the Oakland Coliseum, much like it's easy to access Guaranteed Rate Field in the south side of Chicago. But both Major League Baseball and Oakland A's ownership, they don't want to go that route. They don't feel like the Oakland Coliseum is a good venue as far as location for a new stadium. And this is why they're really pushing the Howard Terminal, because it's just not about building a new baseball stadium for the Oakland Athletics. They want to have what the Boston Red Sox have and what the Ricketts family has built on the north side of Chicago next to Wrigley Field. And if you've been there, you can see, you know, the facelift that has happened in Wrigleyville over the years with the Ricketts family making all of these improvements. It's just not the baseball stadium. It is other business opportunities for these baseball owners to take advantage of it. And the Oakland Athletic ownership group doesn't believe they can achieve that where they currently are or where they sit right now with the Oakland Coliseum. They need an entire different location. But outside of the prospective buyers from Silicon Valley who might be interested and want to keep Oakland, the A's in Oakland, there will be prospective buyers outside of Silicon Valley that will be interested and may want to relocate the A's to Las Vegas. Feels like for a decade, we've been wondering how much longer the A's will stay in Oakland. If the Howard Terminal project is approved, the Athletics front office admitted to the media on Tuesday, it would take 6 to 7 years before a new stadium is built on the Howard Terminal site. So we may not get a resolution anytime soon, but it is something to monitor if the A's continue to make this threat, if the threat is actually real or it's another empty threat. Scores around Major League Baseball. Detroit was up 7-0 entering the eighth inning, but the Kansas City Royals tied the game in the ninth inning as the Detroit bullpen blew that 7-run lead when it seemed the meltdown would be completed. The Tigers hitters had other thoughts as Robbie Grossman delivered the walk-off hit as Detroit still won the game 8-7. The Royals have now lost 9 straight games. Cleveland beat the Cubs 3-2 as Cesar Hernandez and Jose Ramirez both hit home runs. As Shane Bieber again was Shane Bieber, Cleveland remains a game behind the White Sox for first place. San Francisco Giants beat the Texas Rangers 4-2, and now the Giants are 22-14 to start the 2021 season. And the San Diego Padres beat the Colorado Rockies 8-1 to try to keep pace with the first place San Francisco Giants. But there is a significant concern of a COVID outbreak within the San Diego Padres clubhouse. Fernando Tatis Jr. has already tested positive before the game, and he is separate away from the team. Will Myers has tested positive and was pulled during the game. Eric Hosmer has been pulled from the game as well last night through contact tracing. So there's going to be more San Diego Padres players that are going to end up on this COVID list. And we'll see on how it impacts as far as the roster. But it is something to monitor, as the Padres have had terrible luck so far, dealing both with injuries and now with COVID. The Philadelphia Phillies beat the Washington Nationals 6-2. The Pittsburgh Pirates beat the Cincinnati Reds 7-2. St. Louis scored 5 runs in the 11th inning as they won a big National League Central contest 6-1 over the Milwaukee Brewers. The Cardinals are tied with the San Francisco Giants with a 22-14 record. That's the best in the Major League Baseball, because the Oakland Athletics beat the Boston Red Sox 3-2. Both of those teams are 22-15 to start the season. The New York Mets walked off the Baltimore Orioles 3-2. The New York Yankees are heating up as they are now 19-16 on the season after finding a way to beat their nemesis, the Tampa Bay Rays, 3-1. And the Toronto Blue Jays fend off the Atlanta Braves 5-3. That will do it for this White Sox Wake Up Call. Subscribe to the Sox Machine Podcast wherever you listen to podcasts. And also subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/Sox Machine. You can follow us on Twitter at Sox Machine. You can follow me on Twitter at SoxMachine_Josh, as we have been utilizing the new feature on Twitter, Twitter Spaces, that allows us to pretty much create a conference call like environment on Twitter, where we bring in other White Sox Twitter personalities, our friends from the 108, for example. Jim and I will hop on and we'll just quickly chat about the news. It's a great way to address things that happen, or even host impromptu pregame shows before the White Sox play. So if you enjoy listening to us, follow us on Twitter as well, as we'll have more Twitter spaces during the season. If you do enjoy our work and want to support us, visit patreon.com/SoxMachine, as we have several different tiers of support starting at just $2 a month for exclusive content, ad-free podcasts, and an ad-free website, and first crack at our new swag items. Have a great Wednesday morning, everyone, and hopefully we get to talk about another White Sox winner. For SoxMachine.com, I'm Josh Nelson. Thanks for listening.